Well, I want you to know that I've never been a sports reporter. For that matter, never been a musician. So, but I have some characteristics like some of the rest of the people here. So it's an honor to be on the stage with them. I am a blind person. I've been blind my entire life. And although I didn't know it at the beginning, I had a little remaining vision, and I was born with mostly none. And later I found out that I'm a blind person. I didn't know other people could see a whole lot better than I could. And as I continued to grow up, I got to be a teenager, and when you get to be a teenager, you wonder what your life is going to be, and I wondered that myself. I read the books. They have adventure in them. I love the adventure books. But I didn't think I was equipped. And then I got out of high school, and some people in the National Federation of the Blind tracked me down, and they wanted to know if I wanted to go to college. And of course I wanted to go to college. I wanted to do something to get out of the small town where I grew up. And they said, blindness cannot keep you from doing what you want. Misunderstanding can. Lack of information can. Not having enough education, that can. But blindness can't do that. Blindness doesn't stop you. And I thought, I don't know whether these folks know what they're talking about, but I better stick around and find out. So a number of years later, I became president of the National Federation of the Blind, and I served in that office for 28 years. Now, we were learning things in this program that I got into in the National Federation of the Blind. Talked me into it. Said, come learn about blindness. And I thought, I've been blind my whole life. What is there to know? But I found out that this idea that blindness doesn't need to stop you, it's real, and it means you have to learn things. And I was learning how to do all kinds of tasks that you have to do. I learned how to travel with my cane in my hand, and I learned how to read and write and do mathematics and things like that. And I learned how to overhaul an automobile engine, which is the thing I wanted to do. And we used to sit around and talk with each other late at night after the classes were over, and we agreed that there were certain things that blind people couldn't do. But there weren't very many, and we always talked about them, and we said, a blind person can't drive a car or fly a plane or be a doctor. We thought this was a reasonable way to look at it, and I know there are some things blind people can't do, and the most obvious is being able to see. You can't see, so what does not being able to see mean you can't do? And I got through college and law school, and I went on to do all kinds of fun things, and I began to travel one place and another, and I came to Washington, D.C., and began to tell the Congress what it ought to think about blindness and blind people and disabled folks. And then, in my job as president of the organization, I got to thinking, you've said for all your adult life that blind people can't drive cars, and yet you know that in the front end of military aircraft, you've got image recognition software. It'll tell you what's there. And you've got robots that will not run into things. And you've got global positioning systems, and they can tell you fairly accurately where you are. Probably really good ones within, say, 30 inches. If you put all this together, why can't a blind person drive a car? And I started talking about that. And then we ran into some engineers. We started working on the Blind Driver Challenge, and we ran into some engineers at Virginia Tech, and we said, we want to build a car that the blind can drive. And they said, well, yeah, we can do that. You're not blind people. How do you know? Anyway, they said, we can build a car that can drive itself. You don't need to be able to drive it. It'll just. I said, no, we want to be able to manage the thing. You've got intellect between the ears of these blind people. Let's use it. And they said, you mean you want to be able to have the car run into things? And I said, it has to have that possibility. Otherwise, you don't control it. And they said, you want to have an accident? No, I said, we don't want to have an accident, but we do want to run it. They said, all right. And I got up at a convention of our National Federation of the Blind, and I told 3,000 people, we're going to build a car that the blind can drive. And I thought to myself, I do hope those engineers know what they're talking about. And so we got some of the technology built, and they said, we got to have somebody drive this who used to be a sighted person. Why? Said I. And they said, well, a person who used to drive knows how to do it. And I said, but they used to be sighted, and sighted people, when they drive, they look out the window, and they think this is very important. This is a car that's going to be driven by somebody who won't look out the window. So we got a class together. I was in the class. I was president. I could assign myself. We had a number of people in the class. Two of them are here today, as a matter of fact. Both of them were better than I was, the bums. And some of the people in the class used to be sighted, and they have driven, and some of the people in the class are like me. I've never been able to see out the window, so I haven't been ever good at driving, although many blind people with spirit try it anyway. And we had this class, and we had to rent a racetrack. We rented a racetrack in Virginia, and they said, if you're going to rent a racetrack, you got to rent this ambulance. Ambulance? We're not going to run it into anything. They said, if you want the track, you got the ambulance, and it's got a crew in it. It's got a driver. It's got a doctor. If you want the racetrack, you get the ambulance. So we rented the ambulance and the driver and the doctor and everything. And we got on the track, and we drove around there, and we tried it. The technology is that you've got a set of gloves. You wear the gloves, and the computers, there are lots of sensors on the outside of the car, and it'll pick up various elements of the environment, and it'll run them through the computer technology, and then it sends the information to the gloves. If the finger on the glove begins to vibrate, that means turn that way. And if all four fingers are vibrating, turn hard, turn now. Like that. So we built it, and we built some vibrating systems into the seat that would tell you how fast you could go, and like that. And then there was the one about shoulder high, which said you better step on the brake, and if it's vibrating a whole lot, you better step on the brake now, and you better do it very fast, very hard. All that. We had it in the car, and we tried it. And we found that it doesn't matter whether you've looked out the window before. It matters whether you have enough reflex so that you're good at it. Now, I said we were going to try this thing on the Daytona International Speedway. And we had to rent that one. So now I've rented two racetracks. And we wanted a lot of publicity about it because we thought this might be very good for blind people in the world. It would help to demonstrate that there's lots of ability in the hearts and minds of blind people. And this is what we want to do. We want to build hope. So we talked the subcommittee chairman of the Transportation Committee in the House of Representatives to come down there and to be part of it. And his job was to drive the car out onto the track. Now, my job was to ride out there with him. He is a sighted person, so he didn't have to use the techniques that I would use. But I had to go out there with him because I had to make sure that he didn't get too nervous. And secondly, I had to make sure he didn't shut off the car. If you shut off the car, it shuts off the computers, and you got to start them up, and it takes about a half an hour. And my job, Congressman, don't touch the key. Please, Congress, just leave it alone. Don't touch it. And he's driving out on the track, and he's so nervous, and he's thinking, here I am. I'm a member of Congress. I'm a member of the Transportation Subcommittee, and you got me out here, and you're doing this. You're not going to have a blind person drive this, are you? Yes, Congressman, we're going to, just in a minute, you're going to get out and the blind person's going to get in. I'm going to get out and we're going to let that blind person drive alone on this track. And he thought, you're making me look like a... Anyway, he didn't finish it. And he got out and he didn't shut off the car. And I turned it over to the man who's now our president. And he drove it for a mile and a half on the track. And we dropped boxes out of another vehicle in front of it because we wanted to demonstrate that it wasn't all pre-planned and you didn't know where the obstacles were going to be. And he missed them all. And then he tooted the horn and drove past the other vehicle on the track and came to the finish line. And the congressman was there and he thought, wow, that's wonderful. We're really going to make a lot of progress here. And I thought, yes, we are, Congressman, especially if we build it ourselves. And what I want you to know is, we changed our minds that day. What are the limits? Where can we stop? What can we do? Where can we use the talent of blind people in America? We don't know the edges. We're exploring them. And that car was part of it. And besides, I'd like to have one in my driveway.